In a series using Harry Potter as the background for proclaiming that good news which is in Jesus Christ so that some people might hear it in their own language, okay? And so today I think we're going to see something through Harry Potter about our God and this gospel that breaks down the walls of hostility, but I think you're going to learn something about God via these Harry Potter, and that is this. That there is a resolution of the conflict that is revealed in God's heart, and we can see the background of it as we look at a particular character that every Potterhead loves. And who is it? Severus Snape. That's right, Severus Snape. And this character, played by Alan Rickman, and you know him from the first movie, what was it called? Die Hard, and he was Hans Gruber. And he had a great background in Shakespearean stuff, but his first film event was Hans Gruber in Die Hard, the first Die Hard movie. And he plays a Hogwarts professor, and what we see in Severus Snape throughout the series is that there is a conflict raging inside of him, and we wonder, what is it all about? Well, you can see this conflict pours itself out upon Harry Potter. Come on,
there will be no foolish wand waving or silly incantations in this class. As such, I don't expect many of you to appreciate the subtle science and exact art that is potion making. However, for those select few who possess the predisposition, I can teach you how to bewitch the mind and ensnare the senses. I can tell you how to bottle fame, brew glory, and even put a stopper in death. Then again, maybe some of you have come to Hogwarts in possession of abilities so formidable that you feel confident enough to not pay attention. Mr. Potter, our new celebrity. Tell me, what would I get if I added powdered root of asphodel to an infusion of wormwood? You don't know? Well, let's try again. Where, Mr. Potter, would you look if I asked you to find me a bezoar?
I don't know, sir.
And what is the difference between monkshood and wolfbane?
I don't know, sir.
Pity. Clearly, fame isn't everything, is it, Mr. Potter?
Now, Harry Potter doesn't get this yet. I mean, he's taking notes, and Snape just zeroes right in on him. Hermione knows all the answers. He could have called on her and taken the pressure off of Harry, poor Harry. But he just keeps on zeroing in. And so we sense the conflict, and it becomes pretty clear as you move through that Harry Potter, Hermione, and Ron Weasley, they sense the animosity, if you will, of Snape over against Potter and his friends.
That was no stranger Hagrid met in the village. It was Snape, which means he knows how to get past Fluffy.
And with Dumbledore gone...
Good afternoon. Now, what would three young Gryffindors such as yourselves be doing inside on a day like this?
We were just...
You want to be careful. People will think you... up to something.
Alan Rickman died in 2016, but isn't he perfectly cast for this role? I mean, tell me. But you see, you can feel this. And so what I'm trying to present to you is that there is a conflict going on in Severus Snape, and it's being unloaded on to Harry Potter, who senses this. The kingdom of God is like a story about Harry Potter. And we want to know, what is the source of this conflict inside of Snape? How is it revealed to us? Well, it turns out that Severus Snape grew up with Lily. Lily Potter would become Harry's mom. And they grew up, and Severus Snape was enthralled with Lily as a 9-year-old. And he just loved her. And do you remember when you were 9? Did you ever have a crush on another little 9-year-old girl? I'm talking to the guys now, right? And you had this crush, and what happened? It passed, right? It never did with Severus Snape. He loved Lily with a passionate love in the truest and highest and noblest sense of that phrase, passionate love. But Lily? Not so much. In other words, Lily liked Severus as a child, but more like a friend, you know? Well, it so happens that both of them grew up to go to Hogwarts Academy, you know that Severus Snape became a Slytherin. And there's their coat of arms, and it's a snake, and we've kind of discussed, the snake in Genesis chapter 3, you know? And that house kind of stood for something underhanded and evil and dark. Lily, however, went into Gryffindor, and there she met James Potter, and they fell in love, and they were married. Now, Snape saw all this. He's still holding in his heart this love that he has for Lily Potter. It's not revealed. He never interferes in that relationship. But his love for Lily starts to cause him to have more and more of a dislike for James Potter, and it doesn't help that James Potter is kind of the kind of guy that teases and that almost approaches torments poor Severus, and so that dislike happens. And will you recall with me that in the story of Harry Potter, there came a fateful day when evil appeared before the Potter household in order to kill James and Lily Potter and their son named Harry. And James was killed, and Lily was mortally wounded, and then Voldemort went to kill Harry, but she threw herself in front, and she died. And Snape arrives too late on that fateful day to the Potter household. And there, in Harry's room, with him in the crib, he picks up the lifeless body of dear Lily, and he weeps. And now we start to see this conflict that is revealed coming to light. But before I tell you about it, I want you to know that to get to this revelation of the conflict took 7 books and 18 hours of watching movies, all for you. On the one hand, Severus Snape can't stand Harry's father. He has an insatiable jealousy over against him. But on the other hand, he loves Harry's mother more than anything and anyone in the world. So what does he do with Harry? On the one hand, he just can't stand him. And on the other hand, when he has opportunity to really undermine him and do him in, he doesn't do it. And this starts to play out stronger and stronger and stronger as you get to the end. And then in three short scenes, I'll give them to you right now, you see the revelation and the resolution of the conflict. He's talking in this scene with Dumbledore, who's the head of the Hogwarts Academy. And Harry's life is in danger. And Dumbledore reminds Snape that Harry has his mother's eyes. And that touches a chord in Severus Snape. And I want you to hear, as Dumbledore says to Snape, if you truly loved her, and then what the response is from Snape.
The boy survives.
This doesn't need protection. The Dark Lord is gone.
The Dark Lord will return. And when he does, the boy will be in terrible danger. He has her eyes. If you truly loved her,
no one
can know. It's bottled up right here. Dumbledore goes on to say back to Snape, what? Shall I reveal the true heart of Severus Snape? The best of you, Severus? Next scene to understand, you have to know that in the Harry Potter series, characters have a Patronus, which is a magical animal creature that represents their character. Let's pretend I was in Harry Potter's story. I would want my Patronus to be a mongoose. They're quick, they're agile, and they kill snakes like Slytherins, you see. Dear Lily Potter's Patronus was a beautiful doe, a deer. And in this scene, as again Dumbledore and Snape are talking, you'll see that Snape uses the Patronus of Lily Potter to answer a question that Dumbledore poses. Do you care now for the boy? And I want you to also see the last word that Snape speaks.
Now that you've grown to care for the boy.
Always there. That powerful love. And Dumbledore is even surprised that it's lasted that long, but then Snape, he says, always. Last scene. The conflict revealed, the conflict resolved now in this scene. Is he drawn to Harry or repulsed by Harry? And in this last scene, as Severus Snape dies, you see the answer.
Take them. Please.
Give me something. Quickly, a flask, anything.
Look at me. You have your mother's eyes.
Not sure if you catch it, but what's happening here is that Severus Snape is taking that always love that he had for Lily Potter and is transferring it to Harry. And as he gives those tears at his death to Harry, it's so that Harry can see what he must do and how he must go forward. But it was always there. And the conflict is resolved as he looks at Harry Potter and he sees Lily's eyes. And I just wonder if Jesus might have said, the kingdom of God is like a story about a boy named Harry Potter. On this Pentecost Sunday, where we can only understand things about God through the power of the Holy Spirit, have you ever thought about the fact that there is a conflict in our Heavenly Father's heart about us? Really? Think about it with me. We learn from the scriptures what? This is the message we've heard. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Darkness means here there is no evil, there's no sin, there's no hint or shadow of anything that is not pure and good and holy and true. That is God's nature. It's hard for us to comprehend except by the Holy Spirit that God is completely set apart and holy. And therefore it's impossible for him to be in the presence of darkness, evil, sin, that which is not pure, that which is not right, just, fair, good, beautiful. The scriptures go on and say, if we claim to have fellowship with God and yet walk in the darkness, we do not live out the truth. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So here we have it. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. In us is darkness. And therefore, how is it that we can have any presence of God in our lives? And then the apostle goes on and he shows us the conflict in a sense that's there. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. How's that going in your life? Well, let me just ask it again. I write this to you so that you will not sin. I'm going to continue to kind of look. How's that going in your life? You can look into my eyes. Not going real well. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only ours, but for the sins of the whole world. What is going on inside of God? On the one hand, there is absolutely no darkness whatsoever. Therefore, God is repulsed by sin and the sinner. And yet, here's God, not undermining us to destroy us, but acting in such a way. Do you now care for them? The Spirit might ask. I think we discover the answer via Professor Snape. It was Professor Snape's love for Harry Potter's mom that overwhelmed him so that he could love Harry Potter. And so he loved Harry, even though Harry drove him bonkers, because it reminded him of James Potter, but the love he had for Lily. The always love he had for Lily, he had for Harry. God sees our darkness and says, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I can't stand their sin. I can't stand their darkness. And in the very next breath, God says, but I love them so much. How? How can this be? And here's how. God loves the eternal Son. God the Father loves the Eternal Son so much that he wants the Eternal Son to receive all the glory, all the honor, all the affection. And so, Jesus Christ is most glorified when he is presented as the perfect solution to our darkness. And what I'm saying to you is, it is the Father's love for his Son, Jesus Christ, that moves him to present Christ to the world on the cross to do away with our darkness and sin. So that when we look at Jesus Christ, we can say, Jesus, you have your Father's eyes. This came at terrible cost. The Father, in that conflict, says, your sin is killing me. I love you, but I cannot have you. Your sin is killing me. And literally, it did. God's love for his Son is always. And through this incredible gift of Christ's life for us, just like with Snape and Harry, now God's love for us is always. The kingdom of God is like a story about Harry Potter. And just as Snape, because of his love for Lily, is committed to Harry, so when we look into the face of Jesus who died for us, we see our Father's eyes. Now, I call upon you, and I call upon me, and I call upon all of us on this Pentecost Sunday. If you can identify any darkness in your life, look into the eyes of Jesus. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, know that you are forgiven. Know how much you are loved. And know how much you are done with that darkness. By the power of the Holy Spirit, let us as a people become light in Jesus Christ. Let us leave behind any trace of darkness in our lives. And let us cling and walk in the light, which is the perfect will of God in his commandments. Bible says, by this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way that he walked. Ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. What this verse is saying is very simple. Now live in such a way that everybody you meet who looks into your eyes sees the Savior's eyes looking back at them. And we can say together, always. Amen. Let's rise for Holy Communion.